Good evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We'll be reading few verses this evening. We'll be reading from verse 17 through to 27. And then we'll pray. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through to 27. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let's pray. Father, just come before you this evening, just thanking you once again for this opportunity that we can be around your word. And Lord, I just pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, give me your power and your boldness, Lord, to teach the truth from your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'll lead and guide us this time. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verses 17, we see that Paul, if he is moving farewell, Paul calls the elders of the Ephesian church. He brings them together, and he, just before he leaves, before he makes his way to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey, and he gathers them all together. So I just want us to imagine the situation at hand. And he gathers them all together and he speaks to them. But what was interesting about this portion of scripture, from the verses 19 to 27, Paul just shares his testimony. And these elders have been eyewitnesses of Paul's ministry for a period of 3 years. It says that in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that in the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So they viewed and they saw Paul's ministry. They were eyewitnesses of his ministry. And this evening, I just want to look at some principles from the life of Apostle Paul that we can apply to ministry. Not only ministry in our church, but also as we minister to one to another, as we minister to our community, as we minister to our friends and family and the people at work. And what best example of Paul's life? Like, he just covers from verses 17 to 27, he just covers these principles, and I just want to discuss them this evening. First of all, we see the position in the ministry. Paul understood his position in the ministry in verse 19. He says, serving the Lord. Paul understood that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. He glorified in the fact that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:1, the Bible says that Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul understood his position in the ministry, and as we as Christians understand our position as a servant of Jesus Christ, the trials and the testings and the things that will occur in the ministry will really are not occurring personally to us, but they're occurring to Christ. Because if you're a servant, you've given all your rights to Christ, to the Master, true or not. So at the end of the day, we have no rights as Christians. So our life, we have a new life in Jesus Christ, as we heard today, this evening. The only reason we live and we have that new life in Christ is because He died and He suffered for us. And what a beautiful example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8, if you turn there, it gives a beautiful summary of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a servant for us. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5-8, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." And today, brethren, as we minister to the people around us, we need to become servants. And remember, just focus. If times get hard in the ministry, focus on our Lord Jesus, who became a servant for us, because He is God. Took the form of a man for what? For sinful man, that we may have life. First of all, Paul understood his position. And when the Bible refers to he goes serving the Lord, and if we go back to Acts chapter 20, so keep this for Acts chapter 20 because we're going to keep flipping around. Acts chapter 20, he says, serving the Lord, you can say slaving for the Lord. Slaving for the Lord. And he understood his position as a servant. And there's two things that I want to point out under the servant of Jesus Christ. We see here that he's serving the Lord with all humility of mind. All humility of mind. Paul understood the fact that it was so important to keep our minds humble. It says in Paul commended the leaders to walk worthy of their calling with all humility and meekness in Ephesians 4:2. And Paul, you understood the fact that he needed to keep his mind in all subjection to God. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Let nothing, in Philippians 2:3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than themselves." Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And it's a challenge, it's a battle. And as we heard this morning, that we need to guard our heart, because our heart affects our mind, will, and emotion, and it affects our whole life. And Paul understood that as I serve the Lord, I'm going to serve Him with all humility of mind. And he was teaching the elders of the church, serve the Lord with all humility of mind. But this is what I've done, and I believe that this is what he was passing on to them as he shared his testimony. We have the fall of the angel Lucifer, the evil of all evil, the devil, also known as the devil and Satan. When he said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart." You know, he already said it in his heart, but God knows what we say in our heart. And as soon as it goes into our heart, we think upon it. And before we think, before we act, it's been dwelling constantly in our minds, and all of a sudden, bang, something happens. You respond to what you've been thinking upon. That's why Paul said it is so important here, that it's a serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Another thing that I want to point your attention to is serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Paul was a very compassionate kind of man. It says here in verse 20-31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Our Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it. And this got me thinking. We have people in life have so many options. So many options of the kind of belief system or the kind of faith, so-called faith, that they want to take on, so like religion. And for us as Christians, we have the living God within us, the Holy Spirit, and we have the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. And if we are people looking at our lives, are they seeing Jesus in us? Because I believe that the only thing that is going to get people, draw people to us, is our life. And Paul was a great example. He lived out what he taught. And no doubt he was a man of compassion. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, you see that he was moved with compassion time and time again in Scripture. So brethren, do you still have that burden? Do you still have that burden within your heart as you minister? Or have you grown cold or grown numb to the ministry? The thing is, when we get hurt or when we get discouraged, when we get upset or angry, when we take offense because people have hurt us, then we start to move away from having a love for those people. And at the end of the day, as Christians, we need to have a love for people. How are we supposed to win them otherwise? And so that goes back to our position in Christ. If we understand that we are servants of Jesus Christ, we understand that we need to love them no matter what, even if they hurt us or not. Because think of our Savior. He died for the ones that nailed him to the cross. So not only do we need to understand our position in the ministry of serving the Lord, but we also need to serve Him with all humility of mind and with many tears. If you go to verse number 20, it brings me to my next point, the priority of the ministry. The priority of the ministry. In verse 20, Bible reads, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Priority of the ministry. Paul's priority was his calling to testify both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And the priority for the ministry that we can learn here is the Great Commission. We've been all commanded to go. In Matthew chapter 28, probably you all know it, but you could turn there please. Matthew chapter 28. Keep your finger at Acts chapter 20. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We need to go, brethren. In the ministry for Paul, everywhere he went, he spoke Christ. He lived Christ, his life, just pointed people back to the Savior. And that's what our life should be doing. And if our ministry, we need to come and ask the question, if our ministry isn't, if we're not seeing souls get saved, we need to reassess what we're doing. And it's not that we reassess when we bring a drum kit into church just to pull in the crowd, because a drum kit never saves anybody. It's all about winning souls. And if we as Christians don't put the foundation of our ministry as to lead people to Christ, then we need to do something different. It's not about all of a sudden Christendom come about, so-called Christianity has come about, the building projects or the great activities that are held, or just the whole physical aspect. Let's meet the needs of the people physically. But all of a sudden we're forgetting the spiritual thing. And why did Jesus come? So Paul understood that the Great Commission was a priority of the ministry. Also, we see that faith is also a priority in the ministry. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, if we go back there. Acts chapter 20, verses 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. What really stood out to me when doing the study was in verse 22, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Not knowing. Paul didn't know what was going to happen, but he was going to Jerusalem because God wanted him there. And at times, brethren, we just got to go. The thing is, we need to learn not to get comfortable in the ministry that we're ministering. I always pray, Lord, please don't make me comfortable. Because if I get comfortable, maybe when God calls me to go somewhere else, then what's going to happen? I'm just going to sit there because I'm comfortable. Paul was a great example, and he understood that the ministry, the priority of the ministry was faith. He was going to live by faith. Every step that he took was going to be by faith because he just trusted in God. And brethren, as we minister to one another and to the community and to the people around us, we need to make sure that it's done by faith. Let's stop depending on ourselves. Let's depend on God. Priority of the ministry, the Great Commission, also faith. And verses 24. Brings me to the next point, the priority that we stay unmovable. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It should be a priority of the ministry that we stay put where we are. We don't move. We find out what we believe in and we stand. And the reason why we should do that is because it goes back to our position. As a servant of Jesus Christ, our life has become His. So it's not our life anymore, so we no longer have to pray, go there, go there. We just got to be obedient to God, and He can guide our steps, and He can keep us where we're at. And Paul understood that the ministry, it wasn't his. It was given to him by God. If you look here, it says that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry in verse 24, which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, he received the ministry of the Lord from the Lord Jesus. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. We need to stay unmovable, and at times we need to realize that the battle that the ministry that we're in and the battle that we fight is not our battle. It's God's battle. And at times people move because they're disappointed in the way people have treated them, and all of a sudden they move away, but at the end of the day, it's not our battle. It's God's battle. And He let Him fight the battle for us. And Paul was a great testimony is this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. It says, and my first answer, I will read 16 through to 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, in verse 7, the Lord stood with me. We got to ask the question, teenagers. At the end of the day, teenagers and children, listen to me. If, for example, scenario. I'll give you a scenario. If all of a sudden, mommy or daddy aren't sitting next to you, I'm not here, pastor's not here, your friends aren't here, and you're standing all alone, will you still believe in what you have been taught? If you say maybe not, you've got to find out what you believe in and you've got to stand there. We need to be unmovable. And Paul was unmovable because, you know what, he wasn't doing it for anybody. He was doing it for Christ. And that's it. And that's all that meant, what it meant to him. And at the end of the day, if you got to reassess your life, and I have to reassess my life, and I have to come to the point where, who am I doing this for? And if we're doing it for any other man other than Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong there. So as we minister, we got to make sure that we stay unmovable, because when we move, the people that are looking at us also move. The priority of the ministry, the Great Commission, faith should be a priority. We should make it a priority that we stay unmovable. But also, we need to make it a priority that we teach the whole counsel of God. If we go back to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. The Bible says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Here was Paul teaching that he didn't hold back. He taught the whole counsel of God. And one person put it that one writer said that Paul had a clear conscience. He had not been afraid to tell them the whole truth about God. About God, man, sin, and salvation. And at times, we can fall into the trap of just telling people the colorful picture of Christ and telling people that God is one big hug and, you know, it's salvation all the way. But at the end of the day, we need to teach the whole counsel of God. Teach it from cover to cover, that we may understand, they may understand what it's all about. Not just we should make sure that we're not trying to just paint a colourful picture and all of a sudden they'll just last for a short period of time and then they'll just leave. Paul understood his position in the ministry as a servant, and when he served God, he served him with humility of mind and with tears. The priority of the ministry was the Great Commission, was faith, it was unmovable, and another priority should be to teach the whole counsel of God. And my final point was the power for the ministry. If we go to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." First, the power for the ministry and the power of prayer. Everything that we do, we need to commend to God. As a minister, Paul understood that I need to commend, and commend here is entrusted to God. My grandmother always told me, if you're trusting something to God, don't talk about it, because you've just given it to him. And if you've really given it to him, you're not going to worry about it, you're not going to think about it, you're not going to talk about it, so because you've given it to him. And in ministry, when we entrust something to God, we're saying, "Here you go, Lord, I'm not going to look at it anymore." And throughout the ministry, we're going to come to points where we just have to trust God, because really, we can't do anything else. So Paul understood that he commends them to God, because in the previous, in verse 28, he gives them a warning. He turns to their attention and says, "Take heed." And like when the Bible refers to take heed, it's saying pay attention to or be cautious about. And he was referring to, in verse 29 and 30, to what Mr. O'Sullivan was speaking about last week about the big hypocrites in that coming to our churches. So, and then he commended the brethren to God, and we just need to commend all in aspects of the ministry to God. But another thing that the power for the ministry is also the word, his word. Here in verse 32 it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified." One person said that we would expect Paul to entrust them to God, but Paul he exalted the word of God to the same powerful position as God. Because he says here that he commended them to God and he commended them to the word of his grace. And at times in the ministry, if we're feeling down, if we think that things aren't going right, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Give it to God, turn to his word. It's the best thing to do, really. As Christians, we're so blessed to have God's word in our hands. And what has the sacrifice, the great sacrifice in our past that resulted in this, us having it in our hands, it's just amazing. And Paul is just teaching the elders here at the Church of Ephesus just to commend it to God. He commended them to God and he commended them to his word, and we can learn that. The power for the ministry is prayer, that we should commend it to God and trust God with it, and also the word, his word, being the final authority, to be the final authority in the ministry. So, just to summarize, we've got the position in the ministry is to serve the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears. The priority of the ministry is the Great Commission, and it's to make that the foundation of each ministry that we hold in our church. Faith, to be unmovable, to teach the whole counsel of God, and the power for the ministry, we should pray, commend it to God, and also his word should be the final authority for our lives. Let's pray.